Okay, well, are you ready to go? Your bright and shiny little faces, ready to learn something? Taking little notes? And James, nobody's going to get on their... Hello? Nobody's going to get on their little Apple pad or whatever you have to get ahead of me and check out things that I'm talking about on websites and things like that. We won't do that, right? Until after. Then you can do it all you want, but we won't do it ahead. James likes to be clever and get ahead, and he knows he can tell you the minute you have a question, he'll have the answer because he's already got on the way. So, but this time I'm not going to let him do that because I want to be ahead. I'm the expert today. Yeah. Well, anyway, for those of you who weren't here last year when I gave my outstanding presentation on healing modalities, energy healing modalities like EFT and the Healing Code. This is the second year in a row that I asked JJ if I could give a presentation on some material that I've been studying for about the last 6 months that caught my interest. And that's kind of like what I like to do anyway, is to learn something new to me or maybe a whole new concept and then research it and compile it and then present it. And I might do that to you if it's you and I sitting across the kitchen table, as Susie knows, you know, like I'm giving advice and I'm the expert. Or I might like to do it in a presentation like this. So it kind of works out that there's this forum, and I hate to make you guys my captured audience, but I really think that this will be captive. I really think that you'll find this interesting, but there's a lot of material here, and I'm unlike JJ in his presentation. If you notice, he'll take just a handful of concepts or whatever, and then he'll make a nice, smooth, slow presentation with personal examples, and he'll get audience participation, kind of like a river cruise with wine. But with my presentation, you know, I plow through this material pretty quickly. I'm like, yeah? Oh, he's got the material?
Yeah, this is what we found in the
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
I have to start all over. No, I was saying, okay, the vision of the river cruise with wine, but with me, I'm like plowing, hydroplaning down the river on a speedboat spilling beer. That's the way I do it. You know, I get pretty quickly, so you have to keep up. You got to hang on with me. And this is why I'm wearing my little sailor outfit today, so that you can keep up with the captain here, okay? Okay. Now, the thing is that you're going to notice, though, I don't have the years of contemplative experience that JJ has, so I have to use notes, and I'm not going to fake it, you know. Last year I kind of tried, but this year I'm not going to, which reminds me of a cute story that when JJ and I were first married, we were 2 or 3 months into our marriage, we put on this one-day seminar. It was a New Age seminar. Curtis was part of that. And we had a big ad in the paper, and we had all kinds of speakers come in, you know, and we thought this is going to be a big deal. And he told me, why don't you talk about the Course of Miracles? And if any of you have read the Course of Miracles, how many of you have read that? Have you? You're a little familiar with it? It's pretty complex. And, I mean, I've read, you know, some of the workbook things, statements and things, and it's great, but he wanted me to talk about, you know, the overall, you know, purpose of it and what's about, and I had no clue, so I did a bunch of research, you know, and I, at that time there wasn't the internet and Googling, but, you know, I got library books and I'm trying to read it and understand it, taking copious notes, you know, constantly compiling and trying to fix it, gave this presentation on it, tried to memorize it, you know. And when you memorize stuff that you're not familiar with, I was so nervous about this. This was my first presentation that I went out in the car and I brought a jar of wine with me. It was white wine. And I sat in the car drinking a jar, a quart jar of wine. Yeah, and I thought, well, that'll make me nice and relaxed. And, you know, it had no effect on me, absolutely no effect. And you can ask him, I was terrified. So, but I did pretty good. I faked it, you know, and I kind of, you know, I memorized it pretty good. But, you know, I still have my notes, and I had all charts, and I had timelines.
There was a Statesman reporter in the audience, and he happened to pick her lecture to sit in on and listen to and report on. And if she would have known that, she would have
Oh, I'm glad he didn't tell me until afterwards. I was just scared to death. So anyway, this is not. I'm not quite so nervous this time. But anyway, let me get you started. How many of you seen the Jack in the Box commercial where Jack is in a bar, kind of on the sidelines? It's in a nightclub actually, with really loud music, and he's got some of his coworkers there, and they're trying to talk over the noise. And so Jack asks one of his coworkers, "Why are we here?" And one of the guys says, "You said we should try Club Chipotle." And Jack said, "I said we should try a Chipotle chicken salad or a chicken club." And then he described this combo that you can get that costs $4.99, includes fries and drink. And then one woman, you know, again, it's really loud. They can't hear each other. She says, "Did you say you wanted a drink?" And Jack said, "I said a drink comes with a combo." And then she got all excited and says, "You know how to mambo?" And Jack's all cool and he's all clever and he says, "Of course I can do the robot." And he starts going like this. I mean, it was like this, you know. So this kind of style of communication, does it sound a little familiar in your house? Where you think you're hearing each other, but you're not really. Maybe figuratively, literally with JJ, it's literal because his hearing isn't as good as it used to be. So I'm repeating myself. But this kind of stuff gets you into a lot of arguments, and sometimes you're talking and arguing about something that you don't even know what you're arguing about when you're all done. And that kind of miscommunication and misunderstanding can be sorted out in a conversation, especially by women. If you notice, wives remember everything that was said in an argument, and even years later can tell you what you said and she said. Guys, not so much. And they won't admit to saying what they said, right? So, anyway, there's more difficult understandings to sort out, though, when you're involving your own. More difficult understandings involving, though, your own thoughts and beliefs. This is a question that's kind of interesting. Do you believe what you think?
No. I have lots of wrong thoughts.
Do you? Have you even thought about believing what you think? The thoughts that come out of your own head, do you believe them just because they come out of your head? Most people would. I mean, if they came from me, yeah, I believe them, or I wouldn't have them, right? If we don't believe our own thoughts, then whose thoughts do we believe? And do we consciously create our thoughts? Last year, we learned in my talk about the Healing Code that most of our adult stress stems from unquestioned childhood beliefs that we formed in our environment. Do you remember that? Things like our parents and siblings and friends and teachers told us that we absorb like sponges because, you know, as a child, we didn't have the experience and the maturity to filter out that information. And it got absorbed into our subconscious. Since many of these childhood memories, and the Healing Code calls them heart pictures, silently dwell in the subconscious, we aren't aware of how the past effects, how these past effects our adult lives until a stressor triggers the reaction that isn't appropriate to the situation. Have you ever heard of the Course in Miracles saying, which is one of our favorites, "I'm never upset for the reason I think"? Have you heard that one? This is one of JJ's favorites, and he likes to say this when we're in an argument. And he looks at me and says, "You're never upset for the reason you think." Now, what guy in their right mind would tell his wife a statement like that? Yeah.
One who assumes that you're enlightened and pedantic.
Is this statement true? I'm never upset for the reason I think. Why do we get upset by reasons that we're not aware of? The answer is in the word upset. When we're upset and we're emotional, the subconscious takes over, and the conscious, well-thought-out responses that you'd like to have kind of just fly out the window. Most of our negative reactions that bubble up from the subconscious are automatic, like habits and like learned skills like walking and driving. You don't have to think about it. It just happens. It just comes up. And because they're based on these deeply ingrained beliefs about ourselves and about the world, we're attached to them. And they even define us. Are we likely to give credence to thoughts and feelings that we believe are true because they've been with us for so long? that even if they no longer serve us, we still keep them? Of course. How often do you change your mind, particularly over long-held beliefs? How many people change their mind over their adult life? Not very many. This is why people don't usually change once they become adults. Do you ever stop to ask if your thoughts are true? Probably not. Our uninvestigated, ingrained beliefs that become our story is what I'm going to talk about today. And that's the title of my talk. What's your story?